All right, welcome Grace Point, week three here. Well, week three on chapter six of Matthew. Good to see y'all. Anybody that's not from Grace Point, good to have you aboard. We've been teaching through the book of Matthew. Actually, last week I taught a lot about meditation and revelation from God, and I just tapped into Matthew 6 a little bit. I was talking about giving in secret, and really it's the whole principle of the kingdom. Really, the kingdom of God is a kingdom of humility. It's a kingdom of meekness, Jackson. That what we do, when we do good, we do it in secret. And Jesus is talking about this. Why would we do it in secret? Why wouldn't we just, you know, go out and brag about our giving, brag about our praying? Why would we do it in secret? Well, I talked last week about having a single eye. Our master is Jesus, and our father is God, and our eye is single, and we're focused on him. We're focused on eternity. We're focused on rewards that come in eternity, and we're focused on what pleases God. And we know if there is a God, and there is, and it's the Father God, and if there is a Lord, and there is, the Lord Jesus, then he is able to reward us. In fact, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, he says, "Servants, be obedient to your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ." Why? "Not with eye servants as men pleasers, but do things as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men." Why? "Knowing that whatever good thing any man does," Jackson, "the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether you're a slave or whether you're a free man." Whatever good thing you do, he says you'll receive it from the Lord. So then why would you do it in front of men like they're going to give you your reward? Let me ask you a question out there in YouTube land, Facebook land. Would you rather be rewarded by the Lord or by men? Who do you think is able to bless you more, men or the Lord? That's why this whole kingdom operates on faith. When we really believe God, we're able to tithe. It's because you don't believe God that you, and they say, "Well, I don't believe in 10%. No, okay, fine. You don't believe in it. I'm not going to discuss it today. But you would still give generously to God. That's giving at the church. It's bringing it into the house of God. So the in the New Testament, the pattern was they gave it to Paul, the apostle. They gave it to Peter and the church leaders. They sold their stuff and they gave it to the church leaders, and the church leaders distributed it, right? That's the pattern in the Bible. You give it to the church leadership and those people use it for the kingdom of God. They gave it to Paul. They gave it to the early apostles. You would truly give, and you might do more than a tithe because you know that Jesus is going to reward you when you obey him, when you give and you seek his kingdom first. You're going to do it. If you believe it, you'll do it. If you don't believe it, you'll be afraid to give. You'll be greedy. You'll make excuses. It's not, your excuses aren't valid. It really is because you really don't know who God is. That's why at Grace Point, we don't talk about money a lot. I talk about it sometimes before the offerings just because I have to. I can't just say, "Here, take up an offering." I got to tell you what we're doing, right? So I do a little bit. Last week we gave, we didn't say anything. We just took the offering. Most of the time that's what we do, but sometimes I'll talk about it because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So you got to talk about it some, but we're not a pressure place. What I know is if you really believe that there is a God, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him, that's in Hebrews chapter 11, you're going to give because you know your heavenly Father sees in secret. And what does it say here, Jackson? when you give alms, and that's giving to the poor, by the way, which I don't have time to go into it. The whole context of 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 is giving to the poor. It's not giving a church offering. That's something separate. Paul talks about that too in 1 Corinthians, giving to the church. He talks about giving to him. That's in the Bible. But 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9 is giving to the poor. It's sowing to the poor saints in Jerusalem. It's almost like an offering for the poor and a missionary offering is what it is. But Paul is saying, when you know, they gave that to Paul, the leader, saying, when you do that in secret, God is going to reward you openly. Now, if you believe that, what are you going to do, Jackson? When the offering comes around and you believe that God's going to reward you, what are you going to do? You're going to give, or you're going to put your money in your back pocket? You're going to give. And if I try to talk you into it and you don't have faith, you're going to resent me and you're going to make excuses. But if we can teach you faith, we can teach you the Word of God and that what God is going to do, and you receive that Word and you believe that Word, you will act on it. That's why I've talked about, you know, being a tither and how God's blessed me being a tither. When I first got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, they taught it and I just did it. I believed it. I don't tithe, Jackson. This is talking about alms here, not tithing. But I don't tithe under the law, right? Do you think Abraham tithed under the law? No, there was no Moses. Abraham preceded Moses, right? Who was first, Abraham or Moses? The chicken or the egg? No. Who was first, Abraham or Moses? Abraham. Well, he wasn't under law and he tithed. His son Jacob tithed. Jacob wasn't under law. Abel tithed, gave the first fruits to God. He wasn't under law. Tithing is a spiritual principle of putting God first. It's also in Hebrews chapter 7. It says they tithed to Jesus. Did you know that? When they tithed to Melchizedek, they said it was like tithing to Jesus. Do you know in the book of Hebrews, it says when we tithe, Jesus receives our tithes? Says it literally, Jesus receives our tithes. Now, if you believe that Jesus really did receive your tithes, if you really believe that, you think you'd tithe? Jackson, you think you would? If you thought Jesus was receiving them? Well, of course you would. It's that you don't believe it. Right? It's the last thing I like talking about. It really is. But when you understand God rewards, He is a rewarder. And so in Ephesians 6, Paul says, you work as to God because when God sees, Ephesians 6, when God sees it in secret, it says He's going to reward you. In Hebrews 11, it says that God is a rewarder. And that actually is the same thought in the book of Colossians. He says the exact same thing. He says that God is a rewarder. He says, servants, obey in all things your masters. This is Colossians 3:22, according to the flesh, not with eye servants as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Whatever you do, Jackson, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Isn't that what Jesus is saying in Matthew chapter 6? Don't do it for men or in front of men. Do it as unto God. Paul was saying the same thing that Jesus said. Do it for the Lord, not to men. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Or I'm going to say, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward. Again, if you believe it, you'll act on it. That's why Paul says in 2 Corinthians, God loves a hilarious giver. God loves a joyful giver. I've talked about this a lot in our church. If you're out there giving and you're giving grudgingly or like I'm trying to coax it out of you or something, we say over and over again, please do not give. It won't do you any good and it would just make me feel bad. Because we're not trying to coax you into giving an offering. We're trying to teach you what the Bible says about giving and receiving, and it says a lot about it, doesn't it? It says more than I can even teach. It's not even my point. I'm just telling you why Jesus is telling you do it in secret, because your Father who sees what you're doing in secret will reward you. And if you don't want to, you have a grudging heart, well, you need to pray and allow the Lord to instruct you, and you need to repent and change your heart and learn to be generous and learn to be giving just out of your heart. I can honestly say most of the great givers I've known, they would have given whether they got rewarded or not. Just because that's the nature of God. God so loved the world that he gave. That's the very nature of God. He's a giver. And we should be like that. It just so happens that God will reward you for doing it. Now, isn't that amazing? You can look in the Bible. David, he gave God everything. Look how God blessed David. Abraham, he gave God everything. Look how God blessed Abraham. Rich in cattle. Whew, it's good stuff. Whether people want to acknowledge it or not, God is a rewarder, and he does reward your giving. Now, Jackson, I want to be clear. I'm not talking about God as a slot machine, and you know, like people are being greedy, and I'm going to give God, he's going to give me, and that's not it either. It's your motive always has to be love. Your motive always has to be because I want to please God. I love God. I love people. I want to please God. I want to help people. I'm giving in church because I want to advance the kingdom of God. I want to promote the kingdom of God. That's our motive always. It just so happens that God rewards us too. Isn't that cool? And he does. He does reward us. Okay, I'm going to move on. I've talked enough about that. Really, you could teach on giving a lot more than I ever do. Maybe one day when I think the church is ready for it, I'll give a good, 3-month teaching on giving. Amen. But right now, let's just move on. Okay. In verse 5, Matthew 6, verse 5, "And when you pray, do not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets," get this, Jackson, "that they may be seen by men." See their motive? It's all wrong. "Verily I say unto you," they already have their reward. They've been seen by men. They've already got the applause of men. "But you, Jackson, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father which sees in secret." Here it is again. "And thy Father who sees in secret shall reward you openly." You know, one of the greatest ways that God rewards us openly when we seek him in secret, pray in the word secretly, fasting and seek. You know, one of the greatest ways that he rewards you? His presence, his peace comes into your life. You say, "Brother, I don't have God's presence. I don't have God's peace." Well, you're kind of telling on yourself. Have you stole away to your closet? Have you gone to your closet and shut the door? I got a room that I read my Bible in and has all my books in there. Right now, if you went into my room, you'd see 5 Bibles stacked up in my room. You'd see about 10 colored pencils, and you'd see about 10 markers of different colors, and you'd see maybe I have my Greek book out and have a notebook that I write in. That's where I go every morning in secret, and I study the Word of God. And then I at times I'll roll over and I'll get over. I have my pillows on the floor where I pray. That's my secret place, Jackson. That's where I go. It's important to have a secret place. You don't want to be interrupted when you're talking to God. Jackson, here's the secret to you. If no one else on YouTube or Facebook, here's what I'm saying. I want you to hear this. Here's wisdom. He says, shut the door. You know what that means? That means you're locking yourself in with God. You and God. You and me, God. The whole world is outside. I'm going into my room. I'm going to shut the door, and I'm going to pray to you in secret. And your Father, who sees what you're doing in secret, He will reward you out in the open. Number one, He'll reward you with His presence. His presence will be on you. It'll be undeniable. What's different about that guy? What's different about that woman? She's been with Jesus. You know, in the New Testament, when they saw that Peter, James, and John, they said, there's something different about these guys. They said, these are ignorant and uneducated fishermen, but they are different. They took note that they had been with Jesus. His presence was in their life. Number two, His peace will be on you. Say, I don't have any peace. I'm so confused. Work is a mess, and my marriage is a mess, and this is a mess, and I don't have any peace. Well, you haven't been with Jesus. You can't be with Jesus. You can't go into your prayer closet, shut the door, seek the Lord without Him leaving some of His peace on you. It may not be one time that gets the job done, but I'm telling you, nobody that consistently goes into their prayer room and shuts the door and seeks God in secret will ever say, I don't have any peace. Ever. You know, Jackson, sometimes after I preach on Sunday, maybe my message bothers me or I don't, and I just tell Pam, if I can just get to Monday morning, if I can just get to my prayer closet and I can pray, I know everything's going to be okay. I just got to hear from God. It's almost like on Sundays sometimes. I can't wait till Monday morning so I can go into my prayer closet. I can shut the door and hear from God so His peace will come on me. Maybe I'm troubled. I didn't think I did a good job, or I'm disturbed about this, or I'm worried, or I'm getting hammered by the devil. I just know if I can only get into my prayer closet and get some time with Jesus, everything is going to be okay. That's one of the rewards, His presence and then His peace. And there are so many other rewards beside. Now, how do I know whether you believe it or not, Jackson? How do I know, or how does God know whether you believe that's true? Do you really believe He's your rewarder? How would you know? Well, I'll tell you how you know. If you really believe it, you're going to go into your room, you're going to shut the door, and you're going to seek God in secret. If you're not doing it, it's because you really don't believe it. You don't believe God's hearing you, and you don't believe He's going to reward you openly. Because if you did, you would run to your prayer closet. Instead, you'll go to a friend and ask for advice. You'll go to people and gossip about your problems. You'll go to a doctor and try to get him to fix you. You'll go get, I need counseling. We need counseling. You haven't even gone to Jesus yet with your problem. Why would you go to a counselor? I'm not saying counseling's wrong. You might go into the secret place and the Lord might say, you need counseling. I'm going to send this person your way, or I'm going to direct you to this counselor to help you. But if you really believe that God was your king, that Jesus was Lord and God was your king, and that He is going to reward you, you would go into your prayer closet, you would shut the door, and you would seek Him in secret. The fact that you don't do it proves you don't believe it. And for all of those out there that are doing it, and I know many of you are, that proves you do believe it. Keep doing it. Do it more. Press in more. Not as a work of the law, not to try to prove something, but because Jesus is Lord, He's the key to your future. You love Him. You want to worship Him. You're putting Him first. Go into your prayer closet. Shut the door. Keep out the devil. Light the candle, and everything will be all right. We'll pick up there next week. Thank you.